making foolproof the system of vekalat, or representation throughout the realm, that would so wonderfully serve his son and successor during the critical period of Qibat al-Sughra, or major occultation. Here are some of the sayings of the 11th Imam regarding his son and successor, Imam Mahdi, God hasten his reappearance. He informed his loyal followers that the Qa'im al-Mahdi, peace upon him, will be his son, and that the house of the Imam and the Prophet is protected from falsehood and error. When someone asked him regarding the hadith that was related from his forefathers, saying, "The earth will never be void of the hujjat, or God's proof, and anyone who dies without acknowledging the Imam of the age dies the death of ignorance," he replied, "Yes, indeed the matter is as clear and real as daylight." Imam Hasan Askari, peace upon him, had shown his son to many of his loyal and trusted followers, who never passed this information to the bloodthirsty Abbasid regime. Once a person asked him, "Who is the Hujjat, or the proof of God, and the Imam after you?" He said, "After me, the Hujjat and the Imam will be my son Muhammad." The 11th Imam used to say, "Thank God that he did not take me away from this world without showing me my successor. My son is closest to the Prophet in his features and character. God will keep him for a while in occultation, and then he will cause him to emerge so that he will fill the earth with justice and equity." Dear listeners, we offer our heartfelt condolences to the Lord of the Age, Imam Mahdi, peace upon him, on the martyrdom of his illustrious father, and pray to God Almighty to hasten his reappearance. Amen.
Insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran, by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Hello everyone, dear brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of Insights into the Holy Quran. In this edition of the program, we'll have a look at the verses of chapter Nur, the 24th chapter of the Holy Quran, and different commentary points of these verses. Brothers and sisters, let's listen to the 33rd verse.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وليستعفف الذين لا يجدون نكاحا حتى يغنيهم الله من فضله والذين يبتغون الكتاب مما ملكت أيمانكم فكاتبوهم إن علمتم فيهم خيرا وآتوهم مما لله الذي آتاكم ولا تكرهوا فتياتكم على البغاء إن أردنا تحصنا لتبتغوا عرض الحياة الدنيا ومن يكرهن فإن الله من بعد إكراههن غفور رحيم.
But let them who find not the means for marriage abstain from sexual relations until Allah enriches them from His bounty. And those who seek a contract for eventual emancipation from among whom your right hands possess, then make a contract with them if you know there is within them goodness, and give them from the wealth of Allah which He has given you. And do not compel your slave girls to prostitution if they desire chastity, to seek thereby the temporary interests of worldly life. And if someone should compel them, then indeed Allah is to them, after their compulsion, forgiving and merciful.
So as you were previously with us, dear listeners, we said that after talking about the important point of chastity and keeping themselves chaste, this order of piety, the Almighty Allah in this verse talks about the important phenomenon of slavery. وَالَّذِينَ يَبْتَغُونَ الْكِتَابِ مِمَّا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ فَكَاتِبُوهُمْ إِنْ عَلِمْتُمْ فِيهِمْ خَيْرًا. Those of your slaves who seek a writing, write it for them if you know any good in them. وَآتُوهُمْ مِمَّا لِلَّهِ الَّذِي آتَاكُمْ. Give them of the wealth that Almighty Allah has bestowed upon you. Upon this important social phenomenon, we said that Islam struggled against the interests of slavery. We said that in the old times, this was pretty much prevalent even before Islam. Islam did not develop it, but also fought to wipe out this evil tree. One of the uses of alms tax was buying and freeing the slaves, and in Islam, if an owner wounded his slave, that slave was free. So there were many methods in which a person frees some slaves as atonements. And one of the other ways that is mentioned specifically in this verse is mukatibah. And this mukatibah is a kind of contract between these two persons. The slave is obliged to obtain some money through free business. And then the owner will be promising to set him free. The payment must be in a way that the slave can afford. In alimtum fihim khayra, the verse says. And it has been commanded that some of these successive payments must not be more than the value of the slave, so that the slave will not be harmed in this. And if the slave cannot pay his debts for some reasons, his debts must be paid by allocating a part of zakat, or alms tax, as well as through Muslim public treasury. Even some Islamic jurists specify and emphasize that if the owner is to pay alms tax, he himself must substitute his slave's debts for his own tax that is to be paid. Moreover, if Muslims are the victorious party of a war and take war prisoners, there are some different choices to treat these prisoners, which we will mention after a short break.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
In this
word.
Series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic
approach. We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
وتمثل القرآن في أخلاقه وفعاله فيه الفؤاد تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom.
So we said, dear listeners, that Islam fought against the interests of slavery and tried to wipe out this evil tree gradually and step by step. One of the traditional methods that slaves were actually came into being was through wars. The victorious party of war would take prisoners, and these prisoners would turn into slaves. But there are different choices. The choice is to free all prisoners at once, and in this case, war begins again. Another choice is to kill all of them, and this is the sign of Muslims' cruelty. The third choice is to set up a camp for them and sustain them by using Muslim public treasury. This way, innocent people must pay the expense of the wrongdoers. Another way and possibility, an option actually, is to send them among Muslims so that they view Islam, so that they will learn about the Muslims' morals. In this way, they may gradually be influenced and become Muslims, and then we free them through various and different novel ways that Islam has presented. This plan is the best, and Islam's plan is the same. So this is how Islam fought this evil tree. Thank you for staying with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Join us in this journey. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Ask the followers of the remembrance if ye know not.
You're listening to the program The Key on IRIB English Radio with Shiraz Hossein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom and a PhD in philosophy.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Welcome to our program The Key here at IRIB English Radio. Today on The Key, we would like to discuss a topic which is concerned with the Quran, and that is the idea that there is no ikhtilaf, there's no contradiction in the Quran. I mean, the Quran, it doesn't contradict itself. There's a harmony, there's a unity in the Quran, which is one of the reasons why we as Muslims believe that this is a divine book and it's from God. Because if it was, as the Quran says, if it was from a being other than God, there would definitely be contradictions in it, there would be variation in it, and there would be disharmony in it. And in order to talk about why this is so, why the Quran is like this, because a lot of people have called this into question, we're going to narrate a story from Imam Askari. As you know, today is the anniversary of the martyrdom of Imam Hasan al-Askari, alayhi salam. And because of this, here at The Key and IRIB English Radio, we would like to offer our condolences to our esteemed listeners on this day. Let's look at this story, and then we can use it to answer the question that we posed. Abu al-Qasim al-Kufi narrates in the book At-Tabdil that Ishaq al-Kindi, who was a philosopher of his time in Iraq, decided to write about contradictions in the Quran. And he sat alone in his home, preoccupied with this task. One of his students visited Imam Hasan al-Askari one day, and the Imam asked him, "Is there not a rightly guided man among you who can stop your teacher Al-Kindi from this preoccupation that he has started with the Quran?" The student replied, "We are his students. How can we object to him on this or any other issue?" Abu Muhammad, meaning the Imam, said, "Will you then convey to him what I am telling you through yourself?" He said, "Yes." He, alayhi salam, said, "Go to him and offer your service to him in his task, as though you want to acquaint yourself with it and assist him therein. Once the acquaintance has developed, tell him, 'I have a question which I would like to ask you.' Certainly he will allow you. Then ask him, 'If someone who spoke only using verses of the Quran were to come to you, would it be possible for his intended speech to be different to what you have understood it to mean?' He will indeed tell you that it is possible, because he is a man who comprehends if he listens. So if he confirms this, then ask him, 'So that means that which you have perceived might be different to what he meant, such that you might even be imposing a meaning to a word that is different to its original.' So the student went to Al-Kindi, acquainted himself with him, and politely mentioned the issue to him. He asked him to repeat the question, which he did. Then he pondered into it and thought it to be possible in language and acceptable conceptually. He then said, 'I swear by you to tell me from where you have learnt this argument.' He, the student, replied, It is just something that came to my mind, so I presented it to you. He said, no way. Someone like you could not have been guided to this kind of argument, nor reached this position in learning. So tell me from where you have come up with this. He replied, Abu Muhammad alayhi salam ordered me to tell you this. He then said, now you have told me. Something like this could only have come from that household. He then asked for some fire and burnt all that he had written. Thank you for joining us here on The Key. We were looking at the non-existence of contradiction in the Quran in the light of the sayings of Imam Askari alayhi salam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Shiraz Hussein Agha, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom and a PhD in philosophy on the program The Key on IRIB English Radio.
You can also send your questions to English Radio at irib.ir.
Could you tell a little about yourself?
I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of writing.
Listeners special.
In the name of God, the All-Compassionate, the All-Merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warmest greetings to you all. Welcome to another edition of Listeners Special on this Sunday, September 24th, 2023. I'm Atef Erfani, hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views and outlooks are presented through your emails, your letters, and your messages. So please contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. Tell us which program or programs you like the best. And if you have any message for our listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Remember, Listeners Special, this Sunday program is your program. It's your views that are important. This is Listeners Special, and here we've received reception reports from around the world from Mahfuzur Rahman from Bangladesh. Mahfuzur Rahman is one of our old and regular listeners. Also, Thomas Katas from Poland has sent us reception reports. And from Finland, we have reception report from David Mabi, one of our regular listeners. So, Mahfuzur Rahman, Thomas, and David, thank you for the reception reports. We want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to IRIB English Radio. As you may know, these reception reports are very helpful to us, especially to our technicians and engineers, because they help us improve the quality of our programs. Anyway, of course, we've received emails and letters from around the world, which I mentioned some of your names here. And later during the program, I will read these emails or letters. From Bangladesh, we've received an email from Sultan Mahmoud Sarkar, one of our old and regular listeners. From Belarus, Igor Belevich, one of our old and regular listeners, has sent us a piece of email. From India, Najmuddin, also our regular listeners, has sent us an email. Heikki Puranen from Finland, one of our regular listeners, has sent us a piece of email. And the last but not the least is an email from Spain from Ewald Glantecing. Stay with us, please. I will be back with you. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and at the beginning of the program, let's see what Sultan Mahmud Sarkar from Bangladesh says. He says, "Hello, dear IRIB English Radio. At first, take my salam from Bangladesh. I hope you are well. Radio Tehran regularly publishes constructive opinions on global issues on its website. Parse Today, as well as your program, Listeners Special, that makes listeners more and more interested in listening to IRIB English Radio's programs and writing letters. As you know, I am a devoted old listener of Radio Tehran. My favorite programs are Spiritual Message of Islam, In the Path of Imam, The Second Phase of Revolution, Listeners Special, etc. I love Imam Khomeini very much. He gave a new life to the Iranian nation. Radio Tehran is the voice of oppressed Muslims around the world. So I love English radio very much. And at first, please accept our salam and warm greetings to you, Sultan Mahmud Sarkar from Bangladesh, our old and regular listener from Bangladesh. We are so appreciative for receiving your nice email to IRIB English Radio. And Sultan Mahmud Sarkar, you made my day by telling us the programs you are interested in. Actually, by their titles, by their names, as you said, you're interested in programs like Listeners Special, The Second Phase of the Revolution, or In the Path of the Imam. Thank you for letting us know your interest. It shows your commitment and loyalty, of course. Thank you again. An EQSL will be soon sent to you. As confirmation to this email, Sultan Mahmud Sarkar from Bangladesh, we are also looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Thank you again. So let's see what our listener from Belarus, Igor Belevich, says. Igor Belevich from Belarus says, "Hello, my friends, from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I received your signals in Belarus in English on shortwave. I'm glad to listen to your station in English. Salam and greetings to you from Tehran. It's good to hear that you were able to catch up the signals of IRIB English Radio in Belarus, in your region, of course, on shortwave. Please accept our electronic QSL as verification to this email. Igor, write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. We wish you all the best." So after a short break, I will be back with you. Welcome back. Najmuddin from India, one of our old and regular listeners, as I said, has sent us a piece of email and he says, "Dear staff, assalamu alaikum. Once again, I'm glad to send you yet another reception report of your station. I heard a piece of Islamic music with my favorite program, Listeners Special, in which I heard listeners' letters, emails and messages and of course enjoyed it very much. Kindly send me the list of new programs and frequency schedule with some used postage stamps. First of all, salam and warm greetings, Najmuddin from India. We're glad to receive this nice message from you, and we are of course grateful to you, Najmuddin from India. Thank you for everything. Please accept our electronic QSL as confirmation to this email. And regarding your request about sending you the frequency schedule and the new programs, I should say that you can refer to our website at parsetoday.ir/en, and there you can find the frequency schedule. Anyway, thank you again. Write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs. And from Finland, Heikki Pronen, one of our regular listeners, has sent us a piece of email. Heikki says, "Once again, I had the pleasure of listening to your broadcast radio. The reception was not so good. Not very good signal strength and a moderate interference from unidentified station. I enclose with this reception report a link, including MP3 file recorded during the listening. I am 53 years old and working as a testing engineer of electric equipment here in Finland. If you are interested, you can verify this reception report to reply this email. Thank you. Salam and warm greetings from Tehran, the capital city of Iran. And thank you very much for writing to us, Heikki Puranen from Finland. It seems that you had trouble regarding the signal's strength, as you said. It was not very good and moderate interference from unidentified station you had, but don't worry about that. We will inform our technicians and engineers about the problem if the trouble is on our behalf. Anyway, thank you for this email. Please write to us soon and tell us your views about our programs and the quality of our signals, of course. We wish you all the best and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Of course, an electronic QSL will be sent to you very soon. Welcome back. We have an email from Spain from Ewald Glantaching. Ewald says, "Dear Sir or Madam, greetings from Spain. I am an Austrian citizen that, after working in the World Intellectual Property Organization in Geneva, I have chosen to spend my retirement in the south of Spain, where I have been living now for some 3 years. I was able to listen to your IRIB here in Spain, and I thought that that might be interesting news to you. I'm enclosing an audio and hope you have a moment to listen to it. Thank you very much for your attention and looking forward to your reply. Salam and warm greetings from Tehran and from IRIB English Radio. Thank you for this email and thank you for sharing your personal information with us at IRIB English Radio and of course our great listeners around the world. It's good to hear that you were able to receive the signals of IRIB English Radio in Spain. My colleagues will soon send you an electronic QSL as confirmation to this email and we are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Ewald Glantaching from Spain. And here we come to the end of our today's edition of Listeners Special. Many thanks for being with us, but I do send my special thanks to those of you who have kindly sent us reception reports as well as emails and letters from around the world, including Mahfuzur Rahman from Bangladesh, Thomas Kotas from Poland, David Mabi from Finland, Sultan Mahmoud Sarkar from Bangladesh, Igor Belevich from Belarus, Najmuddin from India, Heikki Puranen from Finland and Ewald Glantaching from Spain. Please keep in touch with us. We wish you all the best. God bless you and goodbye.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We will be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send us emails to englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at parstoday.ir/en. Our phone number is 0098-21-2201-3720. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Shura in ayat number 23 gives the command to the Prophet that, O Muhammad, say to your people that I do not ask for any compensation or wage in return for the hard work that I have done in bringing the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to you, إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَ, except to love my family. That is the essential meaning of the word al-qurba. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains further by saying, وَمَنْ يَقْتَرِفْ حَسَنَةً. And whoever acquires goodness, this hasana refers to the mawadda of Ahlul Bayt. Nazid lahu fiha husna. Allah says, whoever acquires this love for Ahlul Bayt, we will increase in its goodness, in the husna of that. Inna Allaha ghafurun shakur. Allah is indeed, you know, what is the implication of that love and mawadda of Ahlul Bayt? Allah says he's forgiving and shakur, he is thankful. He is thanking the ummah for loving the family of Rasulullah, because the essential message was from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the Prophet. If somebody was supposed to give any compensation to Rasul, it was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah says, I would like you on my behalf to give compensation to the Rasul in form of the love for his family. And this mawadda or muhabba or the love and devotion that we have towards the Ahlul Bayt, this is expressed in two different ways. By celebrating the events which are related to them and by commemorating the tragedies which are related to the history of the Ahlul Bayt. In the month of Muharram and Safar, we were busy with commemoration of the events regarding the tragedy of Karbala and what happened after it. And in that sense, this is in a way conclusion of that, you know, series of the majalis and the mourning period that we had. Tonight, the majlis is for the shahadat of our 11th Imam, Imam Hassan al-Askari alayhi salatu wa salam. Very briefly, you know, Imam was born in Medina in the year 232 of the Hijrah, and his shahadat and wafat happened in Samarra. He was 28 years old. And during that time, the last 6 years was the period of his imamat. So his imamat era was very short, but very crucial, because this comes just at the before the beginning of the occultation and the ghibat of the imam of the present time. And just to look at the, you know, the situation at that time, the challenges that the 11th Imam and even the 10th Imam went through, how did they end up in Samarra? It was during the days of the 10th Imam that one of the Khulafa of Banu Abbas by the name of Mutawakkil, he was known to be a person who was filled with hatred towards Ali and Ali Ali. He is considered to be somebody equivalent to Yazid. In Banu Umayya, Mutawakkil would be in among Banu Abbas. And part of his plan was basically to keep a watch on the most prominent figure of the Ahlul Bayt, so the Imams of our times. And this is where he asked his officers actually to force the 10th Imam, Imam Ali al-Naqi al-Hadi alayhi salatu wasalam, to move him from Medina to Samarra. And he was not, you know, brought alone. His family was with him. Initially they were settled in Baghdad, but in Baghdad there was still, you know, the population was very vast. This was the previous capital of Banu Abbas. And the circle of scholars and even the Shias there would still find their own ways to reach to the 10th Imam. And therefore, you know, even their stay in Baghdad was made very short, and they were moved from Baghdad to Samarra, which was the new capital of Banu Abbas. And especially they were placed in an area of the city which was actually a military camp. In Arabic, you would call, you know, this is the place of Askar. Askar means army. This title given to the 11th Imam, Al-Askari, is because of that location. And that also shows that, you know, the place where they were allowed even to buy a house was supposed to be in an area where the army or the officers of Mutawakkil and his government would be able to keep a, you know, close watch on the Imam and his movements or those who are coming to see him. And this is where we come to realize that, you know, there was a lot of restrictions and suffocation as far as communication and meetings of the Imam with the Shias. And this is the same time. So already 11th Imam, even before his imamate, is in Samarra with his father. And this is the same era where you have Mutawakkil, who expresses his hatred towards Ahlul Bayt by preventing the Shias from going for the ziyarat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, to the extent that he even tried to erase any trace of the grave of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. He was not successful in that, but that was the intent. What you see now in form of, you know, the ideology of the Salafis and Wahhabis, that wherever they go, the very first important thing for them is to destroy all the shrines and the graves of the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it's in Saudi Arabia or when ISIS was in control in parts of Syria and Iraq for a short time. They even went actually for the shrines of the Anbiya and the shrines which existed in Syria and Iraq area from a long, long time. And this is where we see that, you know, wherever we see this phenomenon of Wahhabism and Salafism, it can be traced back to Banu Umayyah during the days of Muawiyah and Yazid, as well as the sentiments of people like Mutawakkil. The irony is that, you know, and this is where I say it's not really a Sunni issue, it's more a Wahhabi, a Salafi issue of destroying the shrines. Because these shrines of the Awliya and Anbiya have been there for centuries. During the time of Banu Abbas, Banu Umayyah before that, when Muslims conquered, you know, Syria and Iraq, they didn't go around destroying the shrines of the prophets. And even when the Uthmani family came to power for centuries. They ruled the Middle East. And so this is where we see that this is actually a bid'ah. It's not establishing the sunnah of Rasulullah. This is a, you know, innovation done by Salafis and Banu Umayyah. Of course, you know, people like Mutawakkil are gone, but the shrine of Hussein is still there.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karim Adi Alim Halim Hakim Mati. شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear sisters and brothers from all around the world. Welcome back to IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Viewpoint. I am Bita, and once again, I have the honor to be at your service as the host of today's episode. And today with me are two dear guest speakers, Brother Ali and Brother Habib with me. Welcome, brothers. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Okay, so as we all know, every religion had their own miracle and so on. And the miracle of our religion, Islam, is the Holy Quran, which it has both the concept aspect, that which is a miracle in both concepts of it, in both aspects of its concept and its word. Okay, and the thing that comes to our mind to analysis to this analysis of Holy Quran more and more is the theories. Where does it come from? Is it the word of Allah Almighty or the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him? Is it all about the concept of this book, which is from Allah Almighty, and the words are from Prophet, and so on? Which I want your brother Habib to elaborate these kind of theories more for us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. It's a quick review about it, because last time I read about it actually was 8 years ago. But in summary, there is a difference between whether the meanings are given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the heart, to the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi, then he makes the what we call siyaghat, or you know, presents the words.
Yeah.
In the manner. So that what you the word, for example, anzalnahu is the word from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi, but the meaning came from the from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This one, of course, there are some from non-Shia sects that believe in this.
Yeah.
They do believe in it. And but the main view among Muslims is that both the meanings and the words are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that sent the verses as they were to the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. And all the Prophet did was like a radio. Speak out what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them to say.
Okay.
And there's another view which mystics believe in. It goes back to the fact of their understanding of at-ta'wil. It has to do with that topic, with interpretation, that inner interpretation. That the meanings were, that the words were from Allah. And these words have the capability of having various meanings. They're like a piece of clothes. So Allah gave the Prophet this clothes, or this cloth, this shirt, for example. This shirt can be worn by 1, 2, 3, 4 to non-finishing or ultimate people.
Okay.
And this is going to be like a linguistic kind of topic, and also with the manner of how the revelations happened and how the Prophet used to spread his message is going to be in contrary with it or contradicts with it. Anyway, one of the ways of proving that it was both meanings and words from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the verses from Surah Al-Hadid, if I'm not wrong, and the last couple of verses from Surah Al-Baqarah. Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah Al-Imran, I forgot. Well, there were verses that clinged on to the arsh. They said that we do not want to go to mankind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then, to raise its status, said that whoever recites you, by you, like how you recites you, meaning the verses, which are the words, will receive this and that kind of reward. So the manner of how these words, and it being a miracle that humankind cannot bring such elegant words, is also another manner of proving the theory that we put forward.
So thank you, Brother Habib, for having this historical somehow background in the Holy Quran. But here it comes to our mind that, okay, there is this history behind Holy Quran, but how can you rationalize this thing and this word that it is from Allah Almighty? And what is the reason, the kind of rational reason for me to believe in these words?
Yeah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet Muhammad and his immaculate progeny. There are too many reasons that we can offer that Quran, the Holy Quran, is not the word of the Holy Prophet, and whatever we see as the Quran is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. There are many reasons. I can refer to some. One of the main reasons that we can refer to is the Holy Prophet himself. He was an Ummi. That is, he was... Ummi does not mean illiterate. He didn't see any school, or he didn't find any training or, official learning from anywhere. So if he received any kind of education from anywhere, so then some people came and said, okay, he was a knowledgeable person, and so there is possibility of others or more knowledgeable people to bring something like that. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Holy Prophet, وَمَا كُنْتَ تَتْلُو مِنْ قَبْلِي مِنْ كِتَابٍ وَلَا تَخُطُّ بِيَمِنِكَ إِذَنْ لَارْتَابَ الْمُبْطِلُونَ. Before this, you even couldn't do anything with your right hand. Allah tells the Holy Prophet. So you were a person that you could not do anything with your right hand, because the right hand is the hand that people usually write with, right?
Yeah.
So Allah wants to emphasize that this is me that I'm speaking to people. You were a transmitter of this message, but this transmitter was an immaculate, an infallible transmitter. So this is one reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Then in another verse of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself says, وَمَا يَنْتَقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى, that this prophet that we are talking about, he doesn't say anything from his own self. So Allah tells us exactly directly that وَمَا يَنْتَقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى أَنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى, that is, whatever he's saying is a revelation that has been revealed to him. So this is the next reason that we can refer to, that this is not the word of the Prophet. Again, we have a concept of tahaddi in Quran, that a challenge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that anyone who can bring something like this, he may bring, or she may bring something like this. In the course of history, lots of people came from West and East to say some verses like the verses of the Holy Quran. But no one was able to even bring even a word like the words of the Quran. If it was the word of the Holy Prophet, at least it could be repeated. It could be said again like that. Something like this could be said. Or there might, if it was his own word, there might be any contradiction in his words, or there might be any fallacy in the words of the Holy Prophet. But no one yet could find even a single mistake in the Holy Quran.
Yeah.
So it means it could not be the word of a person like the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The next issue that I want to refer to is that some believe that, okay, this is the word of God. The concept has been given to the Holy Prophet by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this wording is the wording of the Holy Prophet. This is his experience, because Allah is pure existence. There is no matter in the existence of God. So there is no speaking or there is no writing
in
Allah's system. So it has been written by the Prophet, or it has been said by the language or tongue of the Prophet. So this is a concept that needs to be answered. Or some say, both the concept and the wording is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is something that is usually accepted widely by the scholars. But this version that says that the concept is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the wording is by the Prophet himself.
Yeah.
Even this wording, as we said, cannot be by the Prophet himself. Because, as we said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, نَزَلَ بِهِ الرُّحُ الْعَمِينَ عَلَى قَلْبِكَ. That is, it was revealed to your heart. So those that actually misguided in this issue, that they say, okay, it was given to the heart of the Prophet, but from his heart to the paper on a written form is the Holy Prophet. Again, in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, نَزَلَ بِهِ الرُّحُ الْعَمِينَ عَلَى قَلْبِكَ لِتَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُنذِرِينَ بِلِسَانٍ عَرَبِيٍ مُبِينٍ. So even the lesson has been given by him, by whom? By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there is only here a discussion that is this lesson, is this language, the language of the people of Arabian Peninsula at that time, or something that other people could not understand? This is something which is a bit controversial. Definitely, the kind of the language that the angel of God, Jibreel, has given to the Holy Prophet was not understood by others. You know, it was certain medium that no one was aware of. But what we know is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here exactly says, نَزَلَ بِهِ الرُّحُ الْعَمِينَ عَلَى قَلْبِكَ لِتَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُنذِرِينَ بِلِسَانٍ عَرَبِينَ. That is, Allah even says that I have made it in Arabic language, a fusha, that is a comprehensive, well-format Arabic that was understood by people of that time.
Yeah,
so you see, so even this concept, this theory that says that the concept had been given to the Holy Prophet and the wording was by the Holy Prophet himself can be nullified here.
Thank you for explanation, Brother Ali. Then, following the things that you've mentioned, this question comes to our mind that, okay, this is the language of Arabic. And as we all know, language is the tool for communication among the human beings. Okay?
Very true.
So if this is something humanly, this is something that we invented, we actually worked on, we make it more perfect and perfect during times, and literature is the masterpiece of human beings, then why would Allah Almighty choose such a thing to communicate with his servants? Why this language, this humanly language, is chosen? Which we have, for example, this verse that Allah Almighty told that we simplify these words, okay, for you to understand, in order to understand it, okay? And if it is needed to be simplified for us to understand it, why is it be chosen even, okay? There could be any other methods.
Are you like questioning the fact, like the question? Is it like, why is it in Arabic and not in a different language?
No, the question is that why even language? Why this way of communication?
So what format do you suggest?
No.
I was going to ask the same thing.
No, the thing, it's a miracle, okay?
Me personally,
no,
look.
No, the thing I'm telling
like
you
is spiritually, that I don't differ between my devil and my angel. Because, for example, someone, like the other day I was sitting down, I was like looking at my son. I don't know if it was in truth of thought or the angels telling me, throw the water at your son.
Come on, I didn't mean that.
So if it was not language, I don't know how to communicate.
The thing I'm trying to tell you is that we all consider it as a miracle, which there is a kind of word choice in Holy Quran, which we cannot see in any other thing in the world by any human that can write anything. Okay, so, but me, as a normal individual in this world, I cannot understand the miracle of Holy Quran. So is it the problem of me or the problem of the girl? What is the problem here?
The problem is, yeah, it's with you.
Yeah.
The problem, the thing is that we're far, even Arab.